Good morning. I want to welcome everyone here to our church. We have a few announcements. We grieve with Ted and Becky Slimmons on the death of his brother, and we thank God for the life of David, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. The young adults will get together for dinner at the Davis Insurance Building Friday night at 6:30. Child care will be provided at the church. And if you want to let Mary Leah know if you're going to attend, that would be great. Be sure and go around to the back. And then on a much happier note, Jim and Jen Ulmer left this morning to welcome their fourth grandchild with their daughter Millie and her husband. And his name is John Patrick. And he weighed 7 pounds, 10 ounces, and he was 20 inches long. We hope that they have a safe trip up there. And then they come back, and then they'll pack up and leave the 27th. And we'll get together. Circle 3 will get together this Wednesday night. And is it Monday? Why am I on Wednesday? Well, thank you. Well, I'm glad to know that. Okay. So it's Monday night. And so if you want, the study is What My Grandmothers Taught Me, Learning from the Women in Matthew's Genealogy of Jesus. I think it sounds really interesting. And I believe that's all.
Welcome. This is the house of God. All are welcome here. Let us pray. Wisdom of God, from the street corners and at the entrances to the city, you proclaim the way of life and of death. Grant us the wisdom to recognize your Messiah, that following in the way of the cross, we may know the way of life and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand as you're able for the call to worship. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asked.
And Peter answered, the Messiah.
Let us worship the one who is our Savior.
And follow the Christ's path of love.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us worship God. Please remain standing as you're able and turn in the Presbyterian hymnal to page 324, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us to wash away our sins. Because we have faith in Him, we dare to approach the throne of God with confidence, asking for forgiveness of our sins. So in faith and in penitence, let us go to the throne of God, using first the prayer of confession printed in your bulletin and then praying together in silence. Let us pray. O Lord, you have called us to take up our cross and follow you, to carry the truth of your justice like a banner and bear the yoke of life as your servant. We are hesitant, O God, to serve anyone but ourselves. We draw away from the imagery of the cross, forgetting that in you it has become a source of glory. Forgive us, O God, and call us once more to set aside our selfishness and follow in your way. Amen. Hear the good news. Who's in a position to condemn us? Only Christ. Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. So hear the good news and believe that in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, our sins are indeed washed away. We're new creatures able to live together in peace and in love. So now, as grateful, forgiven Christians, let's stand together and sing glory to God. Let's pass the peace to one another, being respectful of the fact that some people want to remain distant or mad. Everybody's situation is a little different. Some are vaccinated. Some have young children who can't be vaccinated. So pass the peace of Christ as you see, as you are comfortable. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Lord God, we thank you for how you reveal yourself in the beauty of your word. We thank you for the insight you give us through the Holy Spirit. Guide us to hear what you want us to hear in your word, that hearing we might do your will in the word. And our Old Testament lesson comes from selected verses from Proverbs 15. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise dispenses knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. A fool despises a parent's instruction, but the one who heeds admonition is prudent. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the minds of fools. The mind of one who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. Those who are hot-tempered stir up strife, but those who are slow to anger calm contention. The mind of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil. The ear that heeds wholesome admonition will lodge among the wise. Those who ignore instruction despise themselves, but those who heed admonition gain understanding. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility goes before honor. Holy wisdom, holy words. Thanks be to God.
Our next reading is from the book of James, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness, for all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening, both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This is the third sermon in a series on practical religion. Last, we talked about how practical religion, that is, practicing our faith in the real world, means not showing partiality or playing favorites. Or to put it more simply, loving God's children the way God loves God's children, without favoritism, without taking into consideration what that person can do for me. Or as we said in Sunday school today, unconditional love. Remember, the ground at the foot of the cross is level. 2 weeks ago, we talked about how James is not contradicting Paul. He is simply emphasizing how the faith that saves us should make a difference. Should make a difference in our actions. We should be doers, not just hearers of the word. Because our action, not because our actions will save us, but because our love of God naturally extends to God's children, to God's image bearers. Practical religion, or pure religion, as we heard in James 1:27, is this: to visit widows and orphans in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This week, we talk about something that hits very close to home, our speech. What would James say if he could see us today? It's gotten even easier to spread malicious gossip, to say unkind words, to spread false and inaccurate information. We even created new words for it, flaming or trolling or whatever. Our information is less filtered and more widely available than it ever was before. Yet James' metaphors for speech, for the dangers of unbridled speech, ring true and relevant today. Once upon a time, a letter written to an editor was at least read by the editor before it got published. Now a letter to an editor is frequently posted online and has been commented on before it even makes it to print. The filter of an objective third party is removed. It's become even more important for us to think before we speak. James has been called the lone book of wisdom literature in the New Testament. This means that James looks to the natural world for demonstrations of God's truth. Consequently, James reads very much like Proverbs, which is full of advice to watch what we say and how we say it. An example of that is the proverb Kitty read to us this morning, part of which said, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise dispenses knowledge, but the mouths of fools pour out folly. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. A gentle tongue is a tree of life, but in perverseness the spirit is broken." The Proverbs are full of statements like this. As an aside, it's interesting to note, I don't know if you've ever noticed before, but the book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. What else has 31 days a month? So it works out really well to take 1 month and read the proverb for that day of the month. It's a good practice. While I was riffing, my computer turned off. So hang on just a second. Got it back. Sorry about that. Returning to the wisdom of James, he uses at least 7 earthly examples or metaphors about speech. How bits work in the mouths of horses. How rudders work on ships. How small fires cause big fires. How humans tame wild animals. How no single spring pours forth 2 kinds of water. How fig trees do not produce olives, nor grapevines figs. These examples still ring true today. And let me hasten to add, this passage speaks to me. These words are hard to hear. As a teacher and a preacher, these words tell me I have to be very careful. As we emphasize Christian education this month after our rally day beginning, what better time for all of us to carefully look at ourselves and remind ourselves to bridle our tongues? Notice it does say bridle, not muzzle. James does not tell us not to teach. He tells us to be very careful because words are powerful for good or for ill. Words can help, or words can lead astray. Like a rudder, a poorly chosen word or phrase can cause a boat to go in the wrong direction. That is why I pray before every sermon that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts are acceptable to God, our rock and our Redeemer. This is why we begin the reading of Scripture with a prayer for illumination, where we ask the Holy Spirit to guide us in our thoughts and our understanding of Scripture. Even well-chosen words of Scripture can be misunderstood and lead to great harm. You remember the temptations of Jesus? What did the devil use trying to tempt Jesus? Scripture. He quoted Scripture to lead Jesus astray. Probably the most common example of this is the preachers who take Scripture out of context. You probably recall that there were preachers who justified slavery use of Scripture during the Civil War. If good words can be misunderstood, how much worse are bad words? James uses the metaphor of the forest fire. With all the fires in the news lately, this seems like a particularly powerful example. The news of small campfires or careless disposal of a cigarette has led to the destruction of hundreds of homes. This has really struck close to home for me. My company of new pastors cohort would meet at Zephyr Point, which is a Presbyterian camp and conference center on Lake Tahoe, just north of South Lake Tahoe, which, if you've been following the news, there's been a big forest fire just south of Lake Tahoe. Thankfully, so far, it's been spared, and in fact, the camp has been able to house some of the first responders. But it's close, and it's scary. James says the tongue is just like a small fire. The tongue, like a small fire, can spread to a much larger fire. We've seen how a careless comment can ruin a person's career. In this day and time of social media, not only does a careless comment spread widely, but it never goes away. It's been recorded for all time. It's preserved kind of like a glowing coal in the forest that may just catch fire again. Deleting a comment does not undo the harm any more than spilled milk can be put back in a bottle. James says that the tongue is difficult to tame like a wild animal. As such, shouldn't we be careful how we let it loose? It is easier to control the tongue before it leaves the cage than after it's been set loose. That does not mean we keep silence in every instance. It means we're very careful how we speak. When I practiced law, I was often in a position to advise persons who were going to give sworn testimony either in court or in a deposition. One of the common statements of advice, which very seldom was taken, was to know the last word of what you're going to say before you say the first word. Or as my parents would more eloquently say to us kids, think before you speak. The mind is our God-given bridle for our tongue. We should think about how our words are going to be received. We should think about who our words are going to hurt. We should think about why we want to say what it is we're going to say before we say it. Are our words going to build up, or are they going to tear down? James makes this point by reminding us that all of us are created in God's image.
our tongues, which are used to praise God on Sunday, should not be used to tear down God's children during the week. We come to worship to remind ourselves who we are and whose we are. We belong to God. We are created by God in God's image. We are created by God to be a blessing and not a curse. James goes on to make this point when he talks about water. Water that flows reflects its source. If water is from a pure source, it is pure. If the water is from a brackish or salty source, it is salty. If we're in touch with our true source, our words should flow forth living water. If our words flow forth evil and destruction, we are not in touch with our true self, made in the image of God, but are reflecting our fallen nature, which is corrupt. Jesus made this point when he said that it's not what a person takes in that corrupts, but that which comes forth. Jesus said this in response to some Pharisees who were much more concerned with outward appearances than with inward corruption. Jesus, like James, is much more concerned that our speech be a reflection of the true love of God than that our rituals be perfect. Again, James mirrors Jesus when he talks about fruit. James says that the fruit reflects the tree or vine from which it came. An olive comes from an olive tree. A grape from a grapevine. Likewise, our lives should bear good fruit, which reflects the God whom we serve. Bad words come from a bad tree or vine. Good words, fruitful words, come from a good tree or good vine. This is practical religion. May our words be figs to the hungry. May our words be grapes to the thirsty. May our words be acceptable to our Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Having heard the word of God read, sung, and proclaimed, let's stand together and say what we believe using the words printed in the bulletin, which are taken from the Confession of 1967. Please stand. What do you believe? The life, death, resurrection, and promised coming of Jesus Christ
has set the pattern for the church's mission.
His human life involves the church in the common life of all people. His service to men and women commits the church to work for every form of human well-being. His suffering makes the church sensitive to all human suffering so that it sees the face of Christ in the faces of persons in every kind of need. His crucifixion discloses to the church God's judgment on the inhumanity that marks human relations and the awful consequences of the church's own complicity in injustice. In the power of the risen Christ and the hope of his coming, the church sees the promise of God's renewal of human life and society and of God's victory over all wrong. The church follows this pattern in the form of its life and in the method of its action. So to live and serve is to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Please remain standing as you're able and turn to Presbyterian hymnal page 388, O Jesus, I Have Promised.
Jesus, I have promised you.
appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to present yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. Let us offer our lives, our tithes, and our offerings to the Lord. Please be seated. Will the ushers please come forward? Let us pray. Bountiful God, you give without measure. May our giving reflect your generosity. May our lives overflow with your deep love. Use our lives and the gifts we bring today to share your blessing in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. In our trouble and need, we look to the Lord, the giver of our daily bread, saying, God of abundant grace, we pray for the church. Strengthen us to follow Christ more faithfully, denying ourselves, taking up his cross, and devoting our lives to your glory. God of abundant grace, we pray for the world. Help us all to heed your voice of wisdom, calling out for compassion and peace, for righteousness and justice on earth. God of abundant grace, we pray for our communities. Let our words be a blessing, not a curse. Put out the fires of destructive gossip and dispel the poison of venomous rhetoric. God of abundant grace, we pray for the earth. Renew the tired land. Refresh the empty waterways. And give life to your weary creation. God of abundant grace, we pray for loved ones. Hear the cries of those who call on your name. Deliver them from the entanglements of death so that they may walk again in the land of the living. God of abundant grace, generous God, as you provide for us each day
Nourish and strengthen us in faith and faithfulness, so that we may share your grace in a hungry world, through Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Above all, we give you thanks, O God, that nothing can separate us from your love in Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Now please stand as you're able. Turn in your bulletin to the back of the announcement insert and see our closing hymn, God Be With You. Heard the word of God to you through the Holy Spirit, I charge you to go out into the world in peace. May our words be acceptable to our Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. May our words be figs for the hungry and grapes for the thirsty. May our words be fresh, not brackish water. May our words reflect the love of God. Pass the peace of Christ among you as you go. May the peace of Christ be with you. And now may the grace, mercy, peace, and power of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.